In your Bible tonight, Book of Mark again. We're going back to the same chapter we was in this morning. We're not going to work on the message we worked on this morning. But we'll get another message out of this same fourth chapter. There's a lot to preach out of the Word of God, out of the Book of Mark. Or out of any of the books, actually. Amen. And I went home and got to looking and I said, hey, I want to read the rest of that chapter. And this stuck to with me. And if we get time, we'll go into the fifth chapter, but I don't believe we'll get time. We want to look at the fourth chapter tonight, and we want to read the last little portion of that, verses 35 down through verse 41. And we want to look at this scripture. You've heard it preached on many times. I've tried it for two or three times. I've preached at it, and about it, and around it, amen, and on it, and in it, amen. But we want tonight look at it once more. So as you stand, please, we'll look at the Word of God, chapter 4, verse number 35. And we'll read together. And the same day. Look at that. And the same day. What day are we talking about? The same day that we talked about this morning when Jesus gave them this sower and the seed. And remember, Jesus was in the ship, in the sea. And we remember He's still there. We are looking at this. We find some other things has happened. He's given some more parables. The parable of the candle. And He talked about that in the fourth chapter of Mark. And then we find He's got the parable of the mustard seed. We've skipped those tonight. That's good preaching. Looking in those. And now tonight we're going to look at Jesus in the ship. And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, or it beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and they say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? And I'll read one verse in the next chapter. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, in the country of the Gadarenes. Sometimes there's some other things happens on the other side of the sea. Amen. It wasn't too good on both sides. So sit down, please, and we'll pray together. Look at something here out of the Word of God. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, we realize tonight that we're needy creatures. Lord, we stand in need of a touch from heaven. Lord, we don't know what we're going to face next week, next month, or next year. Lord, matter of fact, we don't even know what we're going to face before our bedtime tonight. And I pray that You might help us and give us a spiritual strength and spiritual food. And Lord, that You might direct us and guide us. That Father, we might take that direction and that guidance that You give us from the Word of God. Lord, we might apply it to our hearts that we might stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the cause of Christ in this evil dark hour when the devil is running rampant upon this country and trying to destroy anything and everything that stands, Lord, for the truth. And I pray tonight, God, that You would strengthen and encourage every person in this building. May not, Lord, we just hear words, but may, Father, tonight we get a message from the throne of God. And we'll give You the glory, the praise, and the honor. We commit it all to You as You commit it to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Looking with me, please, in the Scripture here, we want to talk about the storm. I've had a few storms in my life, and you've had a few storms in yours. If you've never had none, you're lying to me. We've all had storms. And we think about this, but I think about, first of all, just to throw this out to you, you've heard it before, the three big storms in the Bible. It's more than that, but we'll look at these. One of the storms was when God sent the storm on the earth with Noah and the flood. Amen, what a storm. There's never been a storm like that. And when God destroyed the earth by water, He destroyed it by a flood. And we look at those things. And then of the next storm that I think is a very important and I guess a real something tonight to us is the storm that Jonah went through. Amen. He had a storm, didn't he? He got in the ship. Amen. Now we think about the boats. Amen. Noah and his family was in the big boat called an ark. And it went through the storm. Jonah was in a boat asleep. And he went through the storm. And then we find now Jesus is in the boat. Amen. Matter of fact, tonight I want to point this out. Sometimes we think when Jesus is here, we think He's got in a little John, what is that? Is that what they call John boats? Little old things that they put in the back of a pickup truck. Amen. That's not what this was. It said it was a ship. In the days of Jesus, somebody said it's so crude and rude back there that they didn't know anything about it. But they had some ships. Amen. It had some ships and he was in the hinder part. Matter of fact, we find that Jonah was down in the ship. So they had ships a long time ago. Amen. And we look at these things. So we find that Jesus is in the ship here. The third storm is the famine right here. I want to mention these three. First of all, the first one that we talked about is a ship or the ark that Noah was in, that storm. And that was a storm for a nation or for a civilization that God is going to honor and bring judgment to because of their unbelief and turning their heart and their back on God. Brother, God destroyed a nation through that. And then we find tonight that Jonah, when he was brought in the ship and the storm come up. See that storm? When that storm come up in his life, Brother, God was judging a person. Amen. And now here tonight we find that God is judging a group and looking at these. And I want you to look at this. Now the ship, I want to liken this tonight, this group of people, these disciples that are with Him in the boat, that are with Him in the ship, they're a type of the church of the living God. Every time I see a ship in the New Testament, I liken it, not every time does it fit, but most of the time it will fit as being the ship of the church. And amen, it puts it together. Jesus said we are to stay with the ship. Amen. And so I stay with the church, won't you? We're living in a modern day when people don't care too much for the church. And they got everything else substituting the church for. And are substituting in this world and calling to the church and so forth. I believe tonight sometimes we can worship at the house. I do believe we can worship God at our house. But that's not the proper place that God intends for us to worship. He intends for us to worship at the church house. God's a called out assembly, a place set on the side of the road for us to worship. Now we are deviating in our society from that today. And I don't believe that we ought to do that. But I'm looking at this tonight and beginning to look at it. Now I want you to notice some things in this. There's a storm come up. When this old ship began to sail, and Jesus gives them a command, let us pass over to the other side. Amen. He's going to the other side. And the ship's going to take you. As a matter of fact, if you like that to the church, amen, the church will take you to the other side. Amen. It will. I'm glad I'm in it. Amen. Part of it. And I'm blood-bought. And thank God that our ship will come sailing in. Somebody said one of the days when the old gangplank is swung down and we're in, praise God, we're home at last. The old ship sailing on life's sea. And we know tonight we're going in. We thank God that we're on that ship. Amen. The old ship of Zion. Amen. We just heard just a little bit ago. Now it said here, verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, the same day, not a later one. This is later in the afternoon. Amen. They're tired. Remember, the disciples are tired. They've heard a lot of messages. They heard a lot of preaching. Amen. You think two services on Sunday is rough on you? Amen. They'd heard sermons all day from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pass over unto the other side. You said, hey, Jesus preached. I believe I listened to Him. Jesus did preach, and many did not listen to Him. And Jesus still preaches today, and many are not listening to Him. Amen. Amen. So if we had listened to every sermon we've ever heard and took it to heart, we'd all be in better shape than what we are right now. Say amen right there. And I know I'm telling the truth. Now, he said in verse number 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, They took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. Then he said in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind. Now wind is dangerous, can be dangerous, storms. I don't know whether you know this or not. I do believe you have been experienced in it. And you will agree with me. It's amazing how pretty it can be. And an hour later, you're looking at the devastation of a storm. The sun can be shining, everything looking pleasant. Not a cloud hardly in the sky. All of a sudden it can rise up and 15 minutes later, it can be dropping hail on the ground and flooding out and getting flash floods within that hour. And the devastation, you look at it. So storms are sudden. Amen. Life is full of all kinds of dangers. Amen. I want to tell you, we're living in a dangerous society. You don't have no promise tonight that you're going to get home alive. I'm talking about your little temporary home. Amen. If you're saved, you can get home. Amen. Quickly. But I'm telling you tonight, thinking about this, you have no guarantee that you'll be here this time next week. Amen. You have no guarantee that you'll be here this time next year. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. But we're looking at this. We are living in a time of a dangerous society when anything and everything could take place. Amen. So storms are sudden. And I want to say tonight that God allows storms to come. I believe I've said this a few weeks ago. God allows storms to come, or God can keep storms from coming. God can keep you in the clear, or God can put you in the midst of one. Amen. God can send you a personal storm, or He can send somebody else a storm around you. And I think about this, they're sudden. So sudden storms. This was a sudden storm. It's known that on the Sea of Gennesaret, as I said this morning, the Sea of Galilee and the Sea of Tiberias, all the same, if in any instance it's known to pop up a storm in just an instant. Now these folks are in the ship. Now the Lord knew the storm was coming. Amen. He could have stopped it from coming. But He had it to come for a purpose. And so that storm was sudden. Secondly, storms are stirring. Amen. You ever get stirred up in a storm? Amen. Sit in your chair, take it easy for a little while, and all of a sudden you hear thunder and rumbling in the distance. You don't pay too much attention to it. Amen. But then it gets a little louder, and it gets a little closer. And you go, if you're not careful, you'll catch yourself, if it's not dark, you'll catch yourself getting up and going and looking out the window. And some of you have even gone and looked out the door. Now, am I telling you the truth? You know why? They're stirring when those storms come up. And you may sit there and not pay too much attention. You and your spouse sit there and say, hey, the Lord's in the midst of this thing and God can take care. But you know what? After a while, when it goes boom, boom, and your chair begins to shake just a little bit, and it rattles the house, and you hear things rattling like an earthquake, it's stirring. Now you begin to do like a dog and stick those little ears up, and you pay more attention. You said, hey, I believe it's just around the corner. Amen. Am I right? And so they can be sudden, and they can be stirring, and they can be severe. Amen. I'm not one that I heard a fellow tell me one time he loves storms. He's still alive. Amen. Today, and I still wonder. I want to ask him when I see him every once in a while. You still go out on your front porch when the storms come? He said he goes out and looks at them, and he just enjoys watching the storms. It got to be something just a little shy. Amen. And somebody that loves storms. Now I don't like them. Do you like them? Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what, it makes me want to crawl under the bed and not go out on the porch. Amen. It is just kind of amazing tonight. You get thunder in the distance and you're out swimming. What do you think about doing? Getting out of the swimming hole. Amen. What do you do when you're out in the yard working, running power tools and things? You want to get out of the storm. They're stirring. But they can be severe. I've seen storms that's come through, and when they've come through, or you look at the devastation. And sometimes they'll give broadcasts of that, and you see house after house with a tornado or whatever comes through, a storm comes, and it uprises and uproots all that. And what looked like used to be where a house is nothing but just a trash. And I mean, a house is torn all apart. I mean, sometimes I get amazed when they tear down. Isn't it amazing how they tear down some good buildings every once in a while? People in this world, a lot of them are homeless. And sometimes some places need to be torn down because they're ruined and they're no good. But I've watched them tear down some good buildings and they take them old jaws and put up there, crumble it up, and it's nothing. I've seen storms do exactly like that. No mechanical thing about it, but God has just wiped it up. He can take little big old pine trees like that and pop them off like toothpicks. Brother, the storms are coming through. You say, why are you telling all that? I'm not in a science class. I'm just here to try to remind you, and we're going to look at this in just a little bit. The storms can be severe, and then they can be strange. Isn't it strange? You watch sometimes a devastation, and here will be a four or five buildings in a row just devastated, and then there'll be one or two look like hadn't even had a raindrop on them, and then four or five on the other side are just demolished. And brother, God knows where to set it down and where to pick it up, and God knows what to take out and what to put in. And I want to say to you tonight, spiritually, the storms of life are the same way. God knows how to direct my life, and God knows how to direct your life. He knows what kind of storm you need, when you need it, and how you need it put in your life. And God knows. He's in charge of all of it. I'm glad that I know that God is in charge. Amen. Now, with all that said, let's look at some things. Looking at these things tonight, God knows how to bring heartbreak and heart trouble to your heart, and it could be, amen, some kind of turmoil. You know, I don't know you tonight. You may be at the point that these disciples had gotten into. You may be staring some kind of trouble or some kind of storm in the face. You may be going through some storm. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. But I know tonight the God that can help you. I think about some of these that's got physical troubles. I think about Brother Russell and Brother Stewart. Brother, they got infirmities tonight, and they're going through trials and storms that they haven't never faced before in their life, neither one of them. Brother, I can think about and put myself in that place and wonder what I'd do tonight, but I want to tell you that only God in heaven can do anything with that. And I pray right now to prepare you and help you that when you face a storm and when troubles come and trials come, you'll know how to put it in perspective and be able to trust God in the midst of it. I don't know what to do when I get in a storm. I've been there a few times. Matter of fact, when you get in a storm, you get to the place you don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, you don't do anything till you know. But I'll tell you, you just trust God in the middle of it. Now, let's look at something. He said, and there arose a great storm. Brother, when those contrary winds start blowing, when those confronting winds start coming, brother, I want you to know things begin to change. The Bible said here, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Well, the wind began to blow. It began to toss the ship. Amen. I don't mind the wind blowing, but when it gets to tossing the ship around, I'm not one that's been on ships. I've been in boats a few times. Amen. I could care less if I ever got in a boat again in my life. I've been very few times in one. Don't have no intentions of, amen. My uncle the other day said he sold his boat, and he said, I believe he said in the 60s, he said, or 70s or something, he said, this is the first time in my life I've never owned a boat. I sold it some time ago. Amen. And he got the place, what happened, and the only reason he got rid of it, he said, is because he mashed his thumb off. And he didn't have no left thumb. He didn't have a part, didn't have an he didn't have nothing. And he said he can hitchhike that way, but it's hard getting back. Amen, what he told me. And he said, when I got that thumb mashed off, I got that old boat and went out there, and he said, I had trouble doing any. He said, everything I'd done, I needed that thumb to help me in that boat. And he said, I backed that thing up, and I sold it, and since I believe 1960 or 70, he said, I've owned a boat. I'm not talking about a little old John boat. I'm talking about a fancy boat. He's always had a boat. And he said, I got rid of it. Now, I tell you what, I've never bought one, don't want one, and don't nobody give me one to make me mad. Amen. Amen. Unless you want me to go set it and get some money out of it. All right. I'm saying tonight they're in a boat. And that boat now, or ship, is being shoved from one side to the other. It's rocking. It's rolling. It's going a little forward, going a little backward. It's going sideways from side to side. The wind's blowing. The storm's up. And the water's splashing over. And brother, I'll tell you what, you might be all right as long as everything's going pretty good. But when the water starts getting in the boat, now I ain't got too much sense. But I realize when the water gets in the boat with you, you got a problem if you can't pull the plug. And if you pull the plug, it's even worse. Amen. And so these disciples had no problem. Jesus is in the ship. They done watched Him raise the dead. They done watched Him do the mighty miracles. He's doing all this. They saw it. They know. They trusted Him. They believe in Him. And they're in the boat with Him. They're in the ship. Amen. Isn't it amazing they didn't even know where He was till the ship started taking on water? Amen. They know He's on the ship. But the Bible said He was in the hinder part asleep. And they went to wake Him up. Now they were doubtful. These men had seen God. And I want to show you three things they doubted. Number one, in verse number 38, looky here, and He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? They doubted here His goodness. They doubted that He's going to take care of them. They doubted that His goodness. Master, look here. Carest Thou not that we perish? Carest Thou? Lord, don't You care for us? How many times have you ever had a battle, a trial, a tribulation, some kind of problem, a storm in your life has come your way, and then you didn't know what to do, and the first thing you said is, Lord, why is this happening to me? You're just like the disciples. Lord, carest not for me. Lord, don't You love me? Don't You love me? The first thing we start doing is doubting God's goodness. Lord, I've been good to You. And we're lying when we tell that. And we try to put ourselves in the middle of this thing and we're saying, Lord, don't You love me? Don't You care for me? Everybody in this building's done that when something's happened. Maybe the Lord's took a loved one. Maybe the Lord's took some. Hey, just imagine this. When I was back yonder working on the public job, and Jimmy Carter was the President of the United States, and the economy was pretty bad, and I walked in one day, and rumored in the mill that there's going to be a layoff, and you know how rumors get started in them mills, and I hoping it wasn't me, and they let me work all week long, and long toward the end of the week, they come to me and said, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to lay you off. There's no more work for you to do here. Amen. Got three kids and trying to feed them. Amen. And myself and my wife, and I go home. I bear bad news. I got laid off this afternoon. Don't have a job. Whenever we're trying to find one, tried to go here and go there. Everywhere I went, they didn't have a job. Amen. You didn't have all that stuff that they got now. Some folks, hey, they can go home off a job and make as much money nearly, amen, as you can on a job. And with all the benefits around, they didn't have that. I tried to find what I could do. I've always been one to work. And I begin to ask God, Lord, why? 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 You've been there before tonight. But I'm glad that God has a situation in hand. And I said, there's no way. There's no way with no job. There's no way that I can pay my bills. There's no way. There's no way that I can get through this. There's no way that I can even see my way through it. And I'm going to lose everything I've got. And that's what I thought and looked at that. But I'll tell you, God took care of it all. Amen. I can't see the future. But I know the One tonight that holds my hand today. And I give Him the praise and the glory. So when those troubles come your way, I'm glad tonight that God can take care of it. He's the One tonight can strengthen you. So the first thing they did is they begin to doubt His goodness. And then the second thing is they begin to doubt His grace. They said tonight, carest Thou not that we perish? We perish.
Lord, we're done for. It's over. I mean, care not that we perish. Lord, we don't see any way of coming out of this. They begin to doubt His grace. Reminds me of this crowd tonight gets saved and they can't trust God to keep them saved. They can't trust God to take them to heaven. They always worried and twiddling their thumbs and saying, I hope I don't lose my salvation. Amen. And they're worrying themselves to death. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not losing what God's given me. Amen. I'm not doubting His grace. His grace is sufficient. And then they not only that, they begin to doubt His promise. Amen. Or His provision. Or His guarantee, if you will. Look at verse 35. The Bible said, and the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. If the Lord says we're going to the other side, you can mark it down, we're going to the other side. Now, it don't take a college professor to put that together, does it? If the Lord said we're getting the boat, getting the ship, what He said here, He said, let us pass over unto the other side. They're in the ship. Now, He has given them the guarantee, and that's all you need. Amen. We're saved by God's grace. I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to face next week, but I know one thing tonight, that I am signed, sealed, and will be one day delivered into the very presence of God because I belong to Him and I'm His property. Amen. I'm not the property of the world. I'm not the property of Lucifer. Thank God tonight I'm the property of the Son of God. So you see that tonight. Now let's look at something else. Then verse number 39, the Bible tells us this, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Nobody but the One who has created the wind can stop the wind and say peace. Now look at this tonight. We'll find His power over every situation in your life. I don't care tonight what you face, what you have to go through. God is able to take care of every situation of your life. We've got our life kind of figured out to a certain degree, and we think we can handle this and we can handle that, and we've got it all lined up. You know, we're living in a day of a budget and all that stuff. Amen. I don't know anything. I never heard my daddy and my mama talk about a budget. Amen. What was the budget? What come in every week? Amen. And there's always in need. Amen. Somebody said, we got to have a budget. Well, I want to tell you something. God take care of every problem that ever comes up. You hear me? God knows how to do it. He knows what you're going to have to face. It's good tonight. We see we're living so high on the hog in this modern day. Amen. We're living high on the hog. Do you know that? We're living high on the hog. Can I get that stressed over enough? We're living too high on the hog. And do some of us, amen, not to be living so high. Amen. I remember when you, amen, didn't have but one automobile and you wondered if it was going to crank when you got in it. Amen. Now we got three or four. Somebody's telling about what kind of car they had and how many they got and four or five. A vehicle's parked in their yard and they don't know which one to drive the next time they get in it. And I say, well, you must have a good bit of money somewhere. How's that? Well, amen, pay insurance on four or five cars got to be expensive. Unless you're running up and down the road without any. Amen. You might be like a fellow that I knowed one time, he'd drive one week and another the next week, and he'd drop insurance on one week and pick it up on the next, and he's going to drive next week. Just so he'd change with the weather. Amen. Well, most folks have got a house, and then they've got them, another place. Now, some of y'all may not have, amen, but they've got all these little houses, and they got everything they need, got more than they need. But I'm glad tonight that I look at this thing, and I'm not against you if you've got things. There's nothing wrong with it. Amen. There, I could give you some things that probably be better for you, but you wouldn't hear me no how. You done turned me off a while ago. So I won't get into that for you. But I want to look at this as He said to the wind, He said, "Peace, be still." And even the wind has better sense than most men. The wind just stopped. Just quit. Now, looking at this tonight, I want you to know that He has the power, and we see Him in this ship tonight. He's got power over every situation. He's got power over every sin that's ever coming your way. And He's got power over Satan himself, that Satan can't do no more to you than what God will allow him to do. Amen. Remember, there's not a trial you'll face, but what somewhere down the road God's going to say, that's enough. God knows your limitations. You said, "I'm about to climb the wall. I'm about to blow up. I'm about to fall apart." Amen. And sometimes we get to the place and we say, "I don't know how much more things will happen. One trial will come, another trial will come, and next thing you know we're saying is, I don't know how in the world I'm going to face anymore. I can't stand no more. I can't take anymore." Everybody in this building has probably said that from some time or another. But did you know tonight God knows what you can take? And God will provide the grace to go through every single bit of it. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to face before I leave this world, neither do you. But I know God's grace is sufficient for everything that I'm going to face. Now, let me give you three or four things, and then we'll quit. Looking at this tonight, we find in that ship, out of verse 37, that storm come up. We'll find the boats being filled with water. We're finding that the minds have been filled with fear. And we find that the hearts of the disciples were at a place of faithlessness. Their faith was weak. He said they had no faith in the Scriptures here. And so some things come. But I want to give you four things tonight that Jesus still is. Number one, and this may not be the proper way of saying it, but this is the way this country boy is going to say it. He's still the stiller of the storms. He still knows how to stop them. He can still speak sweet peace to the wind and said, "That is enough." And I'm glad tonight I can trust Him with that. Secondly, He's not only the stiller of the storms, He's the Savior of souls. Amen. There's not a soul that He can't save. I've looked at some and I've said to myself, and you've said it too, you won't admit this, but you said, "There's no way God can save old so-and-so. They're so wicked and so vile and so perverted and so far out. There's no way he or she will ever get saved because they're so wicked." But He's still the Savior of souls. And there's not one tonight that He can't save. Amen. He can save to the uttermost that comes to Him. The old preacher said He saved the guttermost. Amen. To the uttermost. And I praise God for it. Then the third thing tonight is He's still the satisfier of the saints. He still satisfies my soul. Amen. I don't have nowhere else to turn to but the Lord Jesus. Sometimes troubles come, and I might confide with my friends, I might confide with my spouse, I might confide with my family. But I want to tell you tonight, nobody can do anything for me that can satisfy my soul and satisfy my heart but the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the satisfier of the saints. I draw my strength tonight from the throne of God. Do you? And then number four, He's still the shepherd of the sheep. Amen. And the Bible says that the sheep know His voice and follow Him. And He leads us and guides us. And as the shepherd, He provides for us. And there's not a need or a problem tonight that He can't solve. I'm glad, thank God, He's the shepherd of my soul. So when the storms come, and we could preach a different manner on the storms, but when the storms come, I'm glad that we have a consolation, a hope, and a help, and a challenge, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Heads bowed, please. Thank you for coming to the house of God on this Sunday night. And I pray that
God will strengthen you and encourage you. You see, I don't know why we are on this subject and this thought. I could have went somewhere else in the Scriptures. But this is where I believe God wanted us to be. See, I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know what we're going to face in the days ahead. And I want to get my bearings right. And I want to get centered on the Lord tonight. And I don't want to trust flesh, trust the world, or trust people around me. I want to trust Him and depend on Him. I want to watch God do a work. The storms around us, we're facing storms. And I pray that God might give us the strength. Let's stand. I don't know your heart. You might need to come to the altar. Maybe God has strengthened you in a manner. Maybe tonight you needed this, maybe not. But I pray you might look to the Lord. Look at His mighty hand, what He's doing, what He's going to do. He's never let me down. I want to go on record to tell you tonight that Jesus has never, 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 ever let me down. I thought He's failing. I thought He's going to let me down. I thought He couldn't handle it. But He's always come through. Always. I didn't know. I even tried to tell Him how a few times to straighten it out. I even told Him what I needed. I even told Him how He could do it. Didn't work. He picked His own way. But He's always solved my problems. Never left me. Never will.